What's poppin', my Freeform Renegades? You are tuned into the Freeform Network. Thank you for joining us for another fun episode of Freeform Radio. I am your host, Noel, again with my co-host, Daniel.
Yes, sir. Here in the cut, doing the record, man. Hopefully everybody's doing good.
Oh, yeah. And Andy?
It's all good. We're here. Just enjoying life, I guess. But I'm here. We made it another week through this journey. So I'm glad everybody could join us.
That's what I like to hear. It's another beautiful day here in Chicago. We got nice weather today. It's going to be a high of 77, nice and sunny. So wherever you listeners are, we hope you're sitting cool, feeling good, and let's get going with this.
Yeah, Noel, before you jump into it, man, just want to give a quick shout out. We had a few more likes this week from some people. Solve Force give us a like this week. So thank you for that. We also had Cogdila. Yeah, there's some really unique names.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw those. Yeah.
Yeah, and they gave us a like, so thank you for that. And then there was a few other sprinkled throughout through Twitter and Facebook land, so definitely appreciate those for sure.
Oh, of course. Thank you for supporting us. You know where the links are to give us some more support. If you want to have any questions or anything like that answered, you know where to send that email to. But yeah, again, let's get going with this episode and get caught up with everybody's week. We'll start with Andy this week. And Andy, it looks like you're taking interest in the football, the conference this year.
So, yeah, I mean, you know me, I love college football. I'm really into it the last decade or so. And this week it broke. I mean, there's a couple breaking news, but earlier in the year, they were talking about expanding the college football playoff. Right now, it's at 4-12. And they were talking about how early they can implement this. So that was a big discussion around college football. And then out of the blue, like early, like last week, as of this recording, it broke that Texas and Oklahoma were in talks to join the SEC conference, which is like if you don't know about college football, there's conferences, you know, Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12, SEC, ACC, and a bunch of small conferences. And SEC is probably the dominant one right now, which has, I think, the last decade probably have won, that conference has won the most national championships. So, that being said, that Texas and Oklahoma, who are in the Big 12, they officially announced that they were talking to SEC, SEC to joining their conference, and things moved very quickly, and they got voted in this week, and that pretty much changes the landscape of college football. They call it realignment, so it's pretty big news. I know you guys don't watch, I mean, college football, you know all of it, but you're not like a fan of me. This is like, this was out of the blue. No one really talked about it in the age we live in of like, there was no whispers. There was no rumors. It just like, it happened seemingly overnight and thing moved quickly. And then reports started coming out. They've been in talk about this since like 6 months ago. So that's basically when college football ended, like in January, so, or February. So, I mean, it was trending for a while. I was kind of shocked to see that. And then the next question is, why would they move? Well, if, like anything, it's fucking money. I mean, they're gonna get the TV contracts alone from the SEC has its own network, like Big Ten. And they're going to make a shit ton of money just off the TV off a year. They just write them a big check. Merchandise, you know, it just adds more money to the coffers. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma are like blue chip programs. They've been around a long time. They are good. To me, it was kind of shocking. A lot of people talk about it on the sports networks and sports talk. And the other question is like, well, what's going to happen to the Big 12? They're already Big Ten and other conferences are going to go pick through some of those teams. They might leave that conference. The Big 12 might not be around after this year. I mean, that's how this move is, like, it's that big. It's, you're going to kill basically another conference. And so they're talking about, where does this lead up? I mean, so the SEC is going to turn into a 16-team conference. And they're talking about adding more. So college football.
Who picks these conferences? The conferences. There's Texas and Oklahoma. Did they just say, hey, we want to join you, and they're going to let them in? So,
college football round has been around for over 100 years. So more than that. You know, I mean, you're looking at like maybe 130 years. No, 150. I'm sorry. So early on when college football started, it was all like location. So, you know what I'm saying? Like the Big Ten was Midwest.
Yeah, that's ACC, what makes sense to me.
Yeah, because they had to travel by train. And the Big 12 was like the Southwest, Texas, you know, Oklahoma, Nevada and such. And the Pac-10 at the time was all Western, like California, Oregon, Arizona. It was all region-based. And they've been around for like I said, forever. And now that there's TV money involved, there's a lot of TV money involved. Money talks, dude. And it's so much easier to travel now. Not like in the old days, I got to jump on a train or jump on a bus. Those days are long gone. You can fucking be anywhere in this country, no matter where, in under 4 hours. Unless you're going from like coast to coast. Even that's maybe 5-6 hours. So, I mean, it's a shift, and you're starting to see now. You're hearing about other rumors about that there might be like a super conference. So they're talking about doing some NFL type of shit where they're gonna just have 32 colleges in this like own league that can play for the championship and like fuck everybody else, because these are like the schools with the money and the big recruiting and all that. And that's like the new rumor. Like, when is this going to happen, like in the next 20 years?
Well, I see there's like, I just Googled it right now, because like you said, I'm not really a big college football, but it looks like there's like 24 different conferences. Yes. So do like Ohio Valley. Five.
Yeah.
So like Ohio Valley, can they play Missouri Valley?
So with the ones that matter, they call them the Power Five. That's SEC, Big Ten, the Big 12, ACC, and the Pac-12. Those are the Power Five conferences. So those are like considered the elite conferences. The rest, they call them mid-majors. Those are like, they might have like 1 year where they're good and like that's it. These conferences, 99% of the time, all the national champions come from that one conference, or from those Power Five conferences.
So, will Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC, if they do, will that give them an advantage aside from the TV? Yes. Like, will the teams they play?
Yeah. So, the Big 12, which is Oklahoma and SEC, they're part of. Oklahoma has won like the last conference championships at the Big 12. Texas used to be like a power, but the problem with the Big 12, I mean, what I know is they don't have like this TV deal, like where they get paid. ESPN or Fox comes and goes, yeah, man, we want exclusive rights to all your premier games, and we'll give you like $100 million a year. They don't have that. The SEC has that. The Big Ten has that. The ACC has that. So the Pac-12, they got their own network out in California, but it's not like nationally available. The SEC is just about nationally available. The Big Ten is about nationally available. Anywhere in this country you go, your basic cable has the Big Ten or the SEC. I mean, people cut the cord, right? But it's all about TV. And there's even rumors that ESPN that has they're partnered with the SEC. This is where you get into conspiracy shit, right? They have a deal with a television deal with the SEC Like, they invested, like, billions of dollars. They kind of told them, go get fucking Texas and Oklahoma because this is going to make you more money and make you get better ratings, get better everything when, you know, you're going to be a better off. And there's people saying that they're kind of making shit happen to get these super conferences going. Like, the Big Ten is in partnership. The Big Ten Network is in partnership with Fox Sports. And right off, they were like the first conference to ever get that. So that includes, you know, all athletics, college and college, like football, basketball, you know, women's volleyball. All this shit is shown on these networks. But the big money's in basketball and football.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I believe you that everything is about money, and that's why they're making these changes. But, you know, to me, if you can play across conferences, I mean, I don't see what the big deal is with jumping from conference to conference.
So,
if there's so no significance really other than that. So
just to give you an idea, there's a total of 10 conference games, which you have to play within the conference, and then you get an option of playing 2 non-conference games. So generally you're supposed to play. That's when those mid-majors, the other ones you're talking about, like the Big Ten has a contract with the MAC. That's like the Midwest, like mid-major, like Northern Illinois, the Ohio Valley and all that shit. They have that's their non-conference games, is they pick 2 teams from that conference for them to play. You know, and then the rest of the games they play within conference. Like Notre Dame, who's a complete independent, they can play whoever they want. But they play teams from the SEC, the Big 12, Pac-12. They play everybody.
So there is an incentive to be in a big conference.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now it's more and more. Yeah, you get more money.
Okay.
So, and that goes into another thing. You know, the other big ruling was college athletes can make money now through their likeness. Before, right, it's like you couldn't. Now you can. And I was reading that, you know, you could take sponsorships, endorsements, as long as they're – I think each state is different. But, like, in Illinois, I was reading that you could take sponsorship deals as long as they don't include, like, drugs or pornographic or liquor. So – like, I got Pornhub, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can't endorse that because it's against, like, the state law here or something. But you can make money off your likeness before now. That's why at one point EA NCAA football was a big deal. And a lot of people were bitching. A lot of players, like, they got my fucking picture of the on the cover, but I ain't making no money off of this shit. The schools are making money. And that was, like, a big thing. But now, I was reading that Alabama's new quarterback, who hasn't played a snap in college football, he's already got just about Nick Saban said he almost got about $1 million in endorsement deals already.
Wow.
And he hasn't even played a snap of fucking football in college. Think about that. So this is probably at their peak where they can make the most money, you know? And I was reading this one kid, he's gonna graduate early. He picked to go to Ohio State. He's like, I'm graduating early and I'm gonna start college in the fall. This kid's going to be like 17, right? And they're saying that the reason he did that, once he enrolls in college, he could start getting endorsement deals. So he's going to get fucking paid big time by when he enrolls.
I wonder if this player getting money is going to affect like the TV money. Because now, you know, presumably like these or different, you know, organizations paying money to the students versus paying them to the college.
Yeah, so my understanding of it, like, if you go and play at Illinois, right, then, like, the University of Illinois, you can go and they're like, hey, I want you to do a commercial for my fucking Joe Schmo dealership. They pay you direct, but you can't have anything affiliated with the school.
Okay.
So it's just you individually. Like, they can use your picture. You're holding a football. You're like, yo, I got my fucking my Hummer from these guys. Man, they got me a great deal. They could pay you directly, but you can't have anything associated with the university.
So you could have, like, the team colors, but you can't have, like, the symbol.
Yeah, I'm like,
or whatever.
I'm from the University of Illinois. Like, yeah. Like, shit like that. So I think you're going to start seeing some... This is just the beginning. Right now, it's like the Wild West when it comes to that. And it's going to be... it's going to get really crazy in the next year or two before I think they start, like, controlling this shit. Because right now, I was reading, like, some Notre Dame, the offensive line, they got the whole fucking line got a sponsorship deal with some fast food restaurant. And I think they gave them each player something like 10 grand each or some goofy shit like that. But what's funny is some of the schools, like, retweet what these players are getting. So it's kind of like fucking weird, you know, like they're cool with it 1 minute, but then they're not. And they're like retweeting some of the endorsements. So I don't know how that shit's working. And it's still like it's so new. We'll see what happens.
Wow, man. Money everywhere, man.
Dude, it's
a crazy world we live in.
It's like, I was like a purist when it came to college football. I was like, I don't know. You're getting like, you know, you go to these premier universities like University of Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Alabama. These are fucking colleges where you're going to rake up what? Close to 80, maybe 80,000, 90,000 in tuition, right? It's going to cost you like 100 grand maybe just to go there if you pay the full. I mean, that's, and you're getting that for not for free because you could play college football. I mean, it's like a trade-off, but there's just so much money now. I'm like, fuck it. If you could get it at this age, if you get $1 million before you're even 20, I mean, fuck it, man. Like, this is America. Get fucking paid while you can, you know?
I mean, they kind of earn it though, right? They have to work so hard to be the best. And
I mean, they go to school. Yeah. And then they're playing at elite level, you know, college football. I mean, it's a fucking grind. And some of these people, like a lot of those kids, like they, some of these schools have like a high graduation rate. Like Notre Dame has, like, if you enroll there, I mean, I think their graduation rate is like 97% or 98% of their student college athletes, you know, their student athletes. Some of the other schools, like Alabama and shit like that, and down south, there it's not as high. It's like 60-70%, you know. It just goes to show you, like, they're just getting people, you put them in there for a year or two and they out. So, and then because they want to go to the NFL and try to make some money there.
Yeah, nuts, man.
So yeah, that's why, man, get your kids get them ready to fucking throw that fucking football or baseball around, man, because now you get money as soon as you get out of, you know, when you roll into college.
It's crazy times, man. That's for sure.
It's America, man. Nobody faults you for making money. So, but, you know, we'll see. Well, I'll keep on top of it. I'll keep everybody posted. Cause you know, college football is maybe about a month away, Labor Day. So that's like 4 weeks. So football is just around the corner. Cause I don't know about the Bears this year, but, we'll see how everything goes. But Noel, I see you're back. You're probably like with these athletes taking some supplements. You started a new regimen here. So I see you got some long names I can't pronounce, so I apologize. But what are we taking?
Yeah, so recently I've just been wanting to kind of make a little shift and start like a new phase, trying to get a little healthier, a little stronger, a little faster, everything, you know, performance-wise. So I started looking into what's actually effective. I promised myself I would never do anything illegal. I would never do any steroids or anything like that. So I wanted to get like herbs and supplements that are natural that I can get that are effective as well. There's a website I recommend all our viewers, you guys as well. It's called examine.com. Examine.com. And that website pretty much has almost every supplement known to man on there. You can like search just about everything and find some information that's credible, resource, research backed, that has scientific data on it. And so on that website, I was looking up, you know, different supplements that I've heard throughout the years. A few of these, ashwagandha is one of them. Another one called Long Jack, that's the American name, but it comes from Malaysia. It's called Tangkat Ali.
Another what is one, it? It's like root. You said roots, or is it like off of plants and shit?
Yeah, dude, a lot of this stuff is roots. I think the ashwagandha as well is a root. Eleuthero is also a root. Yohim bean comes from the Yohim Bay root plant as well. I think even ginkgo biloba. Dude, it's crazy how many roots are very beneficial for us. And a lot of these things provide like actual benefit, that especially for men, and men that are aging. You know, I would say if you're over 30, you know, you might get benefit from some of these. Whereas when you're like, you know, in your teens or your early 20s, yeah, I mean, you already have, you're pretty much at your peak, you know, in your early 20s. So now that I'm in my, you know, I would say mid 30s, close to, not even yet, but getting there. I'm like, let me just, you know, make sure everything's optimized. So I started lowering my carbs, increasing my protein, all that stuff.
And for the record, I haven't peaked yet, ladies.
You'll get there, Andy. We'll believe in you. So yeah, no, I've been taking the stuff. Some of it I've been taking just, you know, a couple weeks. The ashwagandha I've been taking longer. That I've taken for about a couple months. I think about like 4 months now. Yohim bean I used to take a couple years ago. The problem with yohim bean is that it increases your anxiety. I know it for a fact. Some people have it more than others. When I got a new job, I was taking this as my regular just workout stuff. But I started taking it every day. And when I started this new job, I noticed my anxiety would rise, and it would make it rise normally just by taking it. But then having a new job and having to train and meet new people already gets you in this kind of, you know, flux situation where you don't know what's going to happen the 1 minute to the next, right? They kind of throw things at you. So the yohim bean didn't help that situation, and I kind of quit it after that. I was like, fuck this, dude. Like, I don't like being, you know, paranoid or being nervous, right? You know? So I stopped taking it. But the good stuff is the ashwagandha and
Eleuthero. That's the one you were trying to get me to try, right?
I highly recommend that one. That one's
right.
It's going to definitely work. It gives you a performance boost for muscle strength. It also gives you it's shown to have a good effect on, you know, reproductive quality, just testosterone boosting, and just overall general well-being with that. Lowers anxiety, lowers stress. It's an adaptogen. Same thing with Eleuthero root. The Eleuthero root's an adaptogen, so it lowers your stress, your cortisol, lowers your anxiety, and lowers your LDL cholesterol. Low density lipoprotein, which is the bad cholesterol. So it lowers that about supposedly 15%. So all those things into consideration, it should balance out the yohim bean. So I'm going to get back on yohim bean because I did get a performance boost. Anytime I would take it, I felt like I was burning fat quicker. What it does is it adjusts something in your body that triggers your body to hold on to fat. So it like adjusts it so it doesn't trigger the body to hold on to as much fat, so that when you do exercise or you do intermittent fasting, which I've been doing for years already, I think almost a decade at this point, I've been doing intermittent fasting. And so all that in combination, it should allow me to burn fat faster, to just be less anxiety, you know, more well-being, higher testosterone, higher performance. And the ginkgo biloba, I actually just got this. I've been taking this for a couple days. I've heard good things about it for a long time, but I didn't take it because of the potential for headaches that I would get. But I think part of that was just my bad diet back in the day. I've been changing my diet as well. I've been going lower carb, not no carb. I don't agree with no carb. I think you should have some in your system, but I went from eating white bread to eating Ezeko bread. It's just sprouted bread, and it's healthier, less carbs, more fiber, more protein. I switched from regular pasta to lentil pasta, which tastes just the same, but it has more protein, more fiber, less carbs. And just these little adjustments, dude. I have less acid reflux. I sleep better. I wake up more energy. I don't feel sluggish, like just going to sleep after a meal. And it's just been good, man. Nico Biloba, I do recommend if you want to have a little bit of protection against Alzheimer's, a little better cognitive memory. Ginkgo biloba is good for that, as well as huperzine A, which is also another supplement, comes from Club Moss, I think it's called. And that also works really good with ginkgo biloba for memory, cognition, just better processing. And so, yeah, I mean, I recommend all this stuff to you guys. But, of course, like with anything, do your own research. I don't know what medications different people are taking, if it'll interact with it differently. I thankfully, thank God, I don't need anything else. I just take my supplements. I eat right and I try to sleep right, because that is such an important factor, sleep. None of this matters if you don't get good quality sleep.
No, that's for sure, man. I know sleep is a big part of it. People that have disruptive sleep and stuff like that, it's definitely not a good thing.
Yeah, I got my own regimen, but it's none of this high-end stuff that you take. And I do take like a one a day. I do take some CoQ10s and for the ticker. And then I do take, I started the past month, some like apple cider stuff. Some of those pills for digesting and stuff. And I mean, I've been, like you said, that once you hit, I think when you especially if you hit 40, you notice some of that stuff. And you take supplements. I mean, I guess now more, I know you've talked about it for years, Noel, but yeah, you do need it. And I know there's all sorts of stuff out there. I mean, I've taken some natural stuff for sleeping, and that helps. I don't take it consistently, but I do take it once in a while. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's out there. But yeah, I mean, once you hit 40, I think, I mean, it's kind of scientifically known that your testosterone and all that, I won't say it goes away, but it goes lower, and there's also sorts of shit for that.
No, yeah, for sure, man. I do take vitamins as well. And, you know, I don't know if most of it's like placebo, like in your head, you kind of feel like, all right, I'm taking care of myself kind of thing, or if it actually like makes a huge difference. But I take it for a little comfort, man, to make me feel like, you know, I'm trying to eat well. But if I do go get White Castles, I got my vitamins backing me up on the other side. So I try to even it out, you know.
Yeah, dude, it's good to just start researching more and more on these supplements. There's a lot of good stuff out there, natural stuff that, you know, won't interact with medicine. You just got to, you know, do your research. And a lot of this stuff came from other people, meaning like YouTubers that are in the fitness world. I could throw out some names, but they haven't earned my trust completely yet. I want to, you know, make sure that in the months to come.
Yeah, be cautious.
I don't want them to be, because if I start throwing out some names and then our viewers start watching them and thinking that everything they say is 100% true, and then they start trying to sell their own products on their YouTube channel, I've seen that happen. So it's like, you can get some good information from these guys, though. And as long as it gives you like a guide, you know, to kind of see where you can get this information. So examine.com, for example, came from this channel, More Plates, More Dates. And this guy, he's taken steroids in his life, which is why I don't always want to throw out names like that, because I don't want to give people the wrong impression that steroids are good. It's not. He even says they're not. And he explains how other people that do this are making money off their YouTube channels by trying to sell their, you know, supplements and shit like that. But he actually specifically talked about this website, examine.com, which is definitely a good resource for people who are looking to you know, get through the bullshit, because there's a lot of like filler garbage out there. I used to take this thing called Garcinia Cambogia, which was good for weight loss, they said. And it might actually do that, but it also fucks up your liver. And I didn't know that. For the longest time, I took that for like about a year. And I don't know if I did any liver damage, but knowing that it affects your liver negatively, at least in high dosages, I'm like, I don't need that. You know, I'm not going to take that anymore. So that website did come in handy. Examine.com, I recommend it for you guys. And just to finish it off, one other thing I've been getting into, resistance bands. For a long time, I kind of avoided it. I really only thought that like weightlifting was the way to go, or body weight exercises, you know, like calisthenics and stuff like that. But a couple of my cousins said that resistance bands work for them. So what I did is I looked into, you know, how high the resistance you can get from these bands. And it's actually pretty crazy. You can get up to like 300 pound resistance on these bands. I didn't think they can get that high. But obviously, if they're a thicker belt, you know, like a thicker band, it's going to have more resistance than a thinner one. So I got this whole set here. I do recommend it to you guys. This exact set that I got, I think would work for anyone, because it has five different bands with different, I guess, weight levels. They're not weighted, but the resistance weight equivalent would be different here. So we have one goes up to 15, 35, 65, 85. The highest one is 125. And so I've been using the middle and the high one to get, you know, just my back workouts, because the weights that I have in the basement for my little home gym that I got, I have a weight rack and I do squats, deadlifts, all that stuff, right? But there's muscles in the back that rarely get used through some of these exercises, or if they do get used, they don't get used enough. And I could feel that my body was just not, the strength wasn't all 100% proportional. I felt like there was areas of my body where I was like weaker. I would get sore in my back really easy. And I was like, why am I always getting sore in the back? I'm doing the movements right. I'm doing that right. And it's because the back is just weaker. I didn't focus on it. I didn't specifically do exercises for it. And I ended up, you know, waking up with a sore back because I slept wrong or whatever. And now that I've been doing these back exercises, I kid you not, dude, I have not woken up with a sore back in like weeks. And it's shocking to me, because that was a daily thing. I would wake up, my back's kind of sore. 15 minutes later, it goes away. But it would be every day. And I was like, what the hell, dude? Like, I can't sleep on my side without having like a freaking torn spine or something. And then anyway, these bands definitely are useful. You could do multiple workouts by yourself or with others. So I recommend it. The brand name is Rosapoor, Rosapoar. It's a five-piece resistance band set.
Yeah, when I was rehabbing my shoulder, because I had some shoulder issues a few years back, the guy gave me a few resistance bands, and you know, I was just like, yeah, whatever. But yeah, after trying it, man, they work. And as long as you do the motion, some of these resistance bands, they give you a good burn for sure.
Oh yeah, dude. I highly recommend it. It's all about the rep range too. A lot of people, when they do resistance, they don't know what they're doing, because there's no like set routine, you know, that comes with it. You just got to like make up like, what do I do here with this? But I found it's best to keep it like any other workout and have a number of sets and a number of reps, and just try to, you know, get the best resistance out of it. Like, don't just do it lightly, like step back from it so that the resistance build, and then you start pulling it into you doing pulling exercises. I highly recommend pulling exercises, because a lot of people do pushing exercises like bench press, stuff like that, all these presses, push-ups, stuff like that. But when you start doing pulling exercises, you start working out your back muscles, start working out your side muscles, and you work out things that were weaker, and you kind of just you make it less likely to get injured in the future.
Real quick, when I think of resistance bands and resistant, like those type of workouts, I used to think me and Dan had a mutual friend that had, this is like late 90s and shit, and like he had like a Bowflex, right? And then it was the resistance one with that plastic pieces or whatever. And then we went to the house. I don't know if you were there, Danny, but I remember there and I was like, oh, man, he bought a used one or some shit. And then I tried it and I was like, this is fucking weird because it's different. At that, you know, that machine, it's like it was like you were lifting weight. So it was a different. You could immediately it was different from like, you know, lifting. It was just like the resistance was like all fucking awkward and shit. Like, and he moved the fucking bands and all this shit. It wasn't like, it wasn't smooth. That's all I'm going to say. It wasn't smooth. And like the resistance was like weird. And like ever since then, I'm like, man, fuck all that. Like, I'm not crazy about it. But again, that was an experience from like fucking 20 plus years ago. And my wife did some of it and she swears by it. She has some bands too and she likes it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, every band is different. The brand names, like I thought they were all the same, you know, like mm-hmm. a band is a band, right? But no, my cousin got a resistance band that I used myself. It had handles and everything. And it was okay. But I didn't vibe with it. Like, I don't want to use it, right? These bands that I got, I swear, like they feel like they're like made for like Olympics or something. They're very durable, very well made, heavy. It's almost like the kind of band you would use on a car or something. You know what I mean? Like a heavy, thick, durable band. And so when I was using it, I felt like, man, this is hard. Like, and I don't want to say I'm like the strongest guy in the world, none, but I'm pretty strong, you know. So when I was using these bands, I was like, holy shit, like I'm getting fucking tired over here. And I was just doing like 10 reps. And I was like, God dang, dude, these are really the legit deal. So definitely I would look into getting the right brand. If you want to try these out, they're pretty cheap. I think it was like $30 or so. I have to double check. I'll let you guys know in the next episode. You know, I think I might actually do a like an article on health and fitness for our next episode. Kind of bring that back. It's been a while.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Nice.
But anyway, that's my week right there. My little update. Getting it over to Daniel. Get caught up on your week. What's going on, Daniel? Looks like you got time to watch a new movie, or actually an old movie.
Yeah, for sure, man. I had seen it a couple weeks ago, or maybe even a month ago now. But I watched Signs again, that Mel Gibson movie. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I had seen it years ago when it first came out and I really enjoyed it. And me and Alana were just sitting there looking for something to watch. And yeah, man, we watched Signs and you know what? It still holds up to me, man. I really dug it again. I love the like the meta where everything is for a reason. The wife dying, you know, spoilers for the movie. It's been, I think, long enough that we can talk about it. But yeah. The wife dying with Joaquin Phoenix being just like a real simple guy. But he had this
simpleton.
Not a simpleton, but, you know, like he has different priorities. Like he's not trying to build a family, build equity, build money. He's just happy and content to help his brother. So he, you know, he's a, you know, has been baseball player where his one niche was just hitting home runs, was just swinging as hard as he can. The daughter, where her little stick is, you know, she takes a sip of water and then she claims it's contaminated and just leaves the shit all over the house, which would drive me nuts. And then the son, he's asthmatic, so he has trouble breathing. And all these elements fall into place. And it does have even a religious tone to it because the Mel Gibson character, he's an ex-priest that kind of, you know, wandered away from his faith because of his wife passing. But anyways, that's all the side stuff. But the main thing is the aliens are coming and, you know, invading the U.S. or invading the world. And all these little sprinkled elements go into play at the ending of the movie. And you see the whole thing come together and tie together. And I thought it was awesome when I first saw it. And seeing it again, I still thought it was cool. I'm not sure what you guys have you seen it or even care about it?
I love that movie, man. I love that movie. It was a, it was a good alien movie that made it like almost like a horror movie, or it pretty much was a horror movie. I remember just seeing the alien very rarely, and that was perfect because it built the suspense. And when you did see it, it looked creepy as hell, and I was like, wow, like it made me feel, especially because I watched it as like a teenager, it made me feel like it could happen, like it was real, like it was something that could happen to any of us, right? And it was, right. It was scary.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time. I don't have the same feelings as you guys. I just remember kind of like what you said with Mel Gibson with losing his faith or whatever, the girl. I don't remember much about Joaquin Phoenix. And then I just remember the little girl with the water stuff. I that's about all I can recall. I don't really remember much. I think I saw it like within a year or two after it came out, but I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, I think this was even the first movie that I saw from that director. I forget his name.
Shyamalan.
Yeah, that guy. And after seeing this, it made me want to go watch, because I hadn't seen the other one where I see dead people. I hadn't seen that one yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Sixth Sense. So after this, I went to go see that, and that's an awesome movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw Unbreakable after that, and, you know, it just kind of got me in the whirlwind of just seeing all these movies that he made. And they all have this, like, little quirk in it. And I think this one plays it just right. I think it was cool for anybody out there that's a Mel Gibson fan, which there's probably not many out there anymore, for some of his shenanigans. But but
he's
yeah,
a good actor, man. You can't fault the acting. You know, you can fault the person in real life, but not the acting.
You know, it's funny. I just saw a trailer for that movie that him and Glover were in.
Lethal Weapon. That was an awesome series.
And I was like, man, I haven't seen that in forever. I'm like, man, I gotta check that out and watch it. But
Joe Pesci in there, dude.
Well, actually, I heard some people say that once Joe Pesci came into the trio, it kind of took a downward trajectory. But I don't know. I can't remember that much. It's been so long since I watched it. I can't even really remember the plot of what it was. I just remember Riggs, I think is the guy's name. He's like some hothead. And then the Glover character, he's like the more settled, routine cop, you know, that he's like, you know, by the book kind of guy. But yeah, it's been forever since I seen that movie. But I saw a trailer not too long ago, and I was just like, wow, I gotta catch up with this movie and watch it again.
I think I got him in 4K, if you have like an external or something.
Nice, man. I'll have to swing by and get a copy. But yeah, man, did that. Watched another quick movie, which it still held up somewhat good. I just barely watched it. I know it's been out for a minute already. Jay and Silent Bob reboot. I know you're a fan of Kevin Smith, Andy, but the movie was what it is. It's just a nostalgia fest, just a bunch of cameos. A recycled plot, which, you know, they kind of make fun of during the movie. So it kind of breaks the fourth wall a lot. And it was okay. It was an okay movie. I don't know if I'm just getting old, Andy, and this stuff is not popping as much as I used to. But I remember watching, like, the first Jane Silent Bob movie, and I thought it was hilarious. This one was okay, but I you know, didn't hold up as much as that first one. This being the reboot.
Yeah, I mean, the best part about the movie is fucking Ben Affleck came at the end, spoiler. I mean, because they had like a falling out, him and Kevin Smith. And you can listen to Kevin Smith. He talks a lot about it throughout his various podcasts. But yeah, I was like you. I think I talked about it when it came out. I bought it on Blu-ray. They had a sale on it on Amazon, and I bought it and I checked it out. And it was just like, I watched it, I'm like, it's the same joke. They're just, everybody's fucking old and their parents now, and they had a lot of nice cameos. I think, like you said, it was like, oh, okay, cool. I was like geeking out, but after that, like, I can't watch it multiple times, because that's the whole movie is about them just like, I feel like they're going to that fucking convention, and then they're meeting all these old people from the past, from previous movies, and you're just like, I don't think all this shit was necessary, right? And then but that's what I kind of remember from it, and I'm just like, I might watch it here and there, but it is what it is. It's just it made me feel good for the time I watched it, but it wasn't like by far, it wasn't up to like the Jay and Silent Bob from like, you know, Clerks and the movie, you know, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Chasing Amy and even Clerks 2, Mallrats. Like, yeah, Mallrats and Jay and Silent, I think that's when they're like,
that's that classic. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And this was just like, oh, okay, it's cool. But I'm like, yeah, like I'm fucking old now. That's the feeling I got.
I think it's just life, man. Like things that we liked in a certain era, it can never be replicated again, especially not now with all the technology we got. But back in the 80s and 90s, and I grew up in the 90s, you know, thank God, like I was able to still kind of feel some of that, I guess, nerddom or whatever, where mm-hmm. we didn't constantly get bombarded with like videos and articles and all this text messaging and all this other shit. We just had our group of people we hung out with. We had our areas that we, you know, stuck to, like maybe a certain store you like to go to with your friends or whatever, the mall or whatever. And it was a different time, man. People were just chilling. It wasn't a lot of all this technology that bombards you. You know, you had time to, I guess, experience life. And
yeah. And like even those 90s movies, and you look about it now, you have a great fondness for them. Those movies, I think today wouldn't even be fucking made. Like, I remember the reason I know Kevin Smith is because of Mallrats, because it was on cable all the fucking time. And I'm like, this fucking movie is awesome. And then I read someone told me that he did Clerks. And I remember watching Clerks for the first time. I think I watched it with Dave. We rented it at Blockbuster. And I remember watching that. I'm like, this fucking movie's even better. And then he did Chasing Amy, which was I was a little bit older and I had a different perspective on fucking relationships. And then that movie, and then, you know, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back or whatever. And like, as you grow older, like, yeah, and this one, like, I'm in a different point in my life where, yeah, I watch it, but I'm just like, it's like, and even though I felt like it was a little PC once in a while, I'm like, this isn't like I get it in the time we're at, but it just like, it didn't recapture the earlier movies.
Yeah, I think Kevin Smith right now is actually in some hot water with the fans. I don't know if you heard.
With the He-Man,
Yeah,
I'll probably speak on that sometime soon, but I tried to watch the first episode of the Netflix reboot for He-Man, and I couldn't get through it. And, you know, granted, I got a lot of shit going on, so I just decided, I'm like, you know, I think I'll save this until I got a little bit more downtime and I can actually, you know, give it its good 5 minutes before, you know, I go on and, you know, shit on it like everybody else.
So did you say you finished watching the episode or you started it?
No, I started watching it and I got like 10 minutes into it. And then, you know, it was just the intro of, you know,
you're like, He-Man, the disappointment got to you.
No, I don't want to shit on it like everybody else. I think it's gonna be a good show. Kevin Smith's a pretty good writer. It depends, you know. Like the Walrus movie wasn't the greatest.
Yeah, but I haven't seen that one. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen it? I could, you know, I appreciate it, but maybe it's not the best. But yeah, Kevin Smith's got some good stuff out there, man. I'm still looking forward to Clerks because I think that's the next one he's doing, Clerks 3. Mm-hmm. And there's also word of maybe a Mallrats Part 2, but we'll see. I'm sure it really depends on how Clerks does Clerks 3. So we'll see.
Yeah, just to recap, the Mallrats 2 and the Clerks, he's been talking about his shit for like, I think like 5 years now, man. So I think he is shooting Clerks 3. He posted something on Twitter about that, or they're in some pre-production or some shit.
No, for sure. But yeah, man, just been kind of busy these last couple of weeks. So catched up on some TV, But I think that's enough shenanigans on our end, Andy. Why don't we jump into our article of the week? So, Andy and Noel, this article, it's kind of the theme that's going along all the news right now, breakthrough COVID cases. And what breakthrough means is that it's people that have been vaccinated that end up getting COVID, even though they have this vaccination, which, by the way, it's not a vaccination, because vaccination is like you won't get it ever, you know, like the polio vaccine. This, there is a chance that you can still get it. So to me, I think using the wording vaccine is the first issue. But anyways, this article, I think, kind of leans some credence to the vaccine working, because with all the percentages and adding everything up, less than 1% of people that are getting COVID, according to this article, are people who got vaccinated. Now, granted, this data is kind of old. It makes mention that it's from January, and I think that date, or around that time that this data was being compiled, was before this Delta variant has kind of, you know, kind of swept the news lately. So I'm not sure how it is now. I keep hearing a few different percentages as far as that it's a little greater number than 1%. But yeah, this article kind of brings to light as to the vaccine probably is working the way they intended it to, and really mitigating a lot of the people getting sick. But let's open it up, man. I don't know what thoughts you have. I kind of am trusting the science, man. They said, get the vaccine. You're going to be cool. You don't have to walk around with the mask. I'm not walking around with the mask. Now they're kind of backtracking and saying that you should be wearing a mask in public. But without going too much of a tangent, my gut feeling on the mask thing, I believe what they might be seeing is people who are vaccinated might have COVID, but because of the vaccination, it's not severe. It just feels like a headache, or maybe like you feel tired. But you actually have COVID, and what you're doing is you're spewing it around, and they're trying to protect people that are not vaccinated. And to me, that is my gut feeling on why they're kind of backtracking on the mask. But I digress. Let's open it up to you guys. Yeah, let's open it up to you guys. What do you guys think about this, man?
Just in my opinion, real quick, like you said, they're saying the same shit that they were saying a year ago. But a year ago, we didn't have the vaccine, but they were so fucking worried about asymptomatic people. You remember that? Oh, there's many people walking around, they don't know they have it. Now they're saying here in this article too, now people who are vaccinated are probably have it. They're just walking around and they have little to no symptoms. And even the former FDA commissioner goes, I suspect. Gottlieb told CNBC, I suspect probably 1 in 10 infections is actually getting reported. So he probably thinks the number's higher than it really is. Like they were saying last year when we were like going through the worst of it, and they always say the same thing. Well, it's probably worse than they're really reporting it, or this and that. And it's, and then I feel like they're doing the number porn again. They're like, cases have quadrupled. Well, like, show us the data. And it went up, like, at one point you were like at 100, now you're like at 400 or something. Like, it's still pretty relatively low, but they're just doing the fear, in my opinion, the fear mongering again. So it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Mm-hmm. And I think Biden already mentioned, the president already mentioned, like, everything, like, lockdowns might, or everything's back on the table to slow this down. So that probably means lockdowns and masks and all that bullshit again. So we'll see where this goes.
Yeah, dude, it seems all like a big conspiracy that's coming true, because it doesn't make any sense to tell people to get this vaccine so that you can reopen. Okay, people get it. Now it reopened. And then you're like, well, you're getting it to protect yourself. Okay, cool. If you don't want to get it, okay, don't get it. That means you're going to take the chance of whatever happens. And that's the way it's been for probably much 99.99% of human existence. Whatever happens, happens. You can only take care of yourself truly by eating right, sleeping, exercising. Those are the ways that we've, you know, lived this long. It wasn't, I mean, vaccines, of course, and medicine helped, right? But ultimately, we wouldn't have even gotten to the point of making vaccines if we weren't smart enough to live right, to eat right, to sleep right, right? And so to me, this is all just a way of them keeping control of the people, them making just one bad decision after another. It's like, here, take this experimental vaccine. We don't even know if it'll fucking work, but it might. And then so you take it. Some people start getting shingles. Some people die. And it's just like, what the hell is going on with this? Normally, vaccines take up to 10, 15 years before they're finally passed. Before they're finally ready for humans, I should say.
Yeah, I did read something somewhere that said they're almost ready to take the emergency vaccine name off of it because it's still being administered as an emergency because it hasn't been proven yet. They're still testing it.
Well, man, we're going to get fact-checked on that. Someone made that claim then, and then I got fact-checked that the FDA did approve the vaccine.
Well, they approved it as an emergency.
Yes,
yeah, they approved it as an emergency measure, as a polio vaccine normally gets approved.
Another thing, too, is
technical legalese and shit. But yes, that I did see someone, because now people are pushing, like, you need maybe people will get more vaccinated if the FDA approves it. Because, you know, the longer they wait, the more and more people are like, fuck this. I'm not going to get it. It's, like you said, an emergency use only. And then they're like, no, it was approved for emergency approval or some. You know, they were fucking mincing words. And that's like the new thing I saw they were pushing for a while. And they're still pushing the vaccine and you know, which is fine. You know, if you want to get it, get it. But it's like Noel brought that up, that he has some concerns. There's people with underlying conditions that have some concerns that should be discussed with the doctor. You just can't fucking be out there on your high horse saying, just fucking get it. Like everybody, this country, we have a lot of people with a lot of different afflictions and diseases that maybe it will prevent them from getting it, man. We don't fucking know. I mean, but that is definitely a personal choice.
And so you get this, what's called a vaccine, but really it's just like a flu shot, essentially.
Yes.
And they're saying, oh, you got these Delta variants. And it's just like, of course there's variants, man. Like, this isn't the first year coronavirus has existed. It's, well, why the hell is it in a Lysol can spray that's existed for 20 plus years? Because it exists, the coronavirus has been around probably as long as humans have been around, right? And so all these variants and trying to like just scare people into, oh, now we need another vaccine. Supposedly there's a third dose coming from Pfizer. I'm like, you know what, man? I'm out. I'm done with that. If there's a 99% chance I'm going to survive as long as I eat right, sleep right, and live right, I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing and keep living like a normal human being, because I'm not about these scare tactics that they're trying to throw out here and their mandates and shit. I ain't about that. We're free people.
That's my whole two cents. Like, you can't, people who want to get it, going to get it. You look at the numbers, the metrics, the data, and you look at the numbers and it's just like, huh? Like, this is like you said, I think the recovery rate's like 99.2% or something. It's something like really, and we're treating this as like people are just dropping dead in the middle of the streets. I mean, but I guess to each their own. I go, like I said, everybody has their own medical issues and this grandstanding from certain people, I don't fucking understand it. I don't get it. And like, you're not convincing them, the people who you want to get, you're not making it. You're just fucking saying, get it. You're being selfish. Like, that argument isn't going to fucking work.
Yeah. To me, what I want to start hearing is like what Noel mentioned, eat right, you know, sleep, eat a healthy, live a hefty, healthy life, and that would improve your chances as much as this vaccine, supposedly. That's what I would like to hear. I'd like to hear, I had read another article when I was doing a little research for this, that vitamin D deficiencies are still being found in COVID cases today. Yes. So, and to me, it's like, it's shocking that people are reading stuff like that. And instead of going like, I'm just going to get this vaccine and I don't have to worry about anything. It's in the data. If you just read it, vitamin D deficiency is a big part of this and why people aren't taking supplements or doing what they can with their diet to get the sufficient amount. Yeah. Your vitamin.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Zinc, get the sunlight. Zinc.
Yeah. I don't get it, man. And you know, it's stuff like that, that, you know, kind of upsets me. I'm just like, why don't they come out with the health part of it first? Like, this
they
is
don't
stuff
care about our health, man.
Right. But no, I get it.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
I know. Yeah.
But I'm just saying it shouldn't be like that. It should be like, all right, your first thing before you put your mask, before you get your vaccine, before you do wash your hands, before you do any of that stuff, eat right, sleep, take necessary supplements to fill in those gaps. Then wash your hands, put on a mask, stay 6 feet away. You know, that should be the order of operations to me.
To add on top of that, when they were offering donuts to those who would get the vaccine, that just said everything to me. I'm like, oh, you're going to offer donuts. Though probably the most unhealthy thing you could put in your body. It's like 99.9% useless for the body.
Well, there goes that Krispy Kreme sponsorship I was trying to get for us.
I'm sorry, man. Except Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme is good.
No, no, yeah, it's. Man, I don't, that's like a whole nother show. But we know in this country, in the United States, the crap that we eat at just about fast food and processed food is like just so fucking bad for you, but you buy it because it's affordable. Because eating healthy is, it's even the, like, you go to your grocery stores and you eat, like, you know, fresh produce, apples and oranges, and you even see stuff like that. Like, that's probably like they do shit to it. You gotta do all this stuff to. It's not as natural as you think it is, but it's just so fucking hard in this country to eat correctly, because you could eat a lot more with like $5, a lot of crap for $5, than you can when you're with $5 if you want to eat healthy.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it too, is that if people, let's say you have $20 in your pocket and you're like, well, I could get me, you know, 3 Happy Meals, 4 Happy Meals, and walk out of this place, or I can get 2 salads and, you know, and walk out with 2 salads and have to split that up in my family. And it's just like, yeah, man, I get it. I get it that sometimes healthy food or healthier food is more expensive, but sometimes it's worth it, man. It's your health that you're talking about.
Look at our, like, that coworker we were talking to about a certain fast food chain, and he goes, yeah, I won't go in there unless I get like a coupon. Like, I could have 2 of these chicken sandwiches with fries and a drink, and all that will cost me is like $5-6, and that feeds 2 people. You're basically feeding 2 people for $2.50, you know?
Right.
And how can you compete that when you go by, when we went out to lunch the other day, and I said, damn, like, I want that salad and to add chicken. That salad was like normally like $13 is like $17 now. And that change just happened like within the last, I'm assuming the last 3 weeks, because you're adding protein, the chicken. And I'm just like, damn, it's fucking expensive.
And yeah. Then, I had an Italian beef and I think my beef was cheaper than your salad.
Yeah. And then that's what I'm saying. Like, making those decisions impacts your health and your wallet.
Let me put it to you this way. I just started like going on this, like, not cleanse, but this, like I said, new phase of eating, new phase of living.
Like, and a so White Castle cleanse where you eat it and it like purges your body out, or what?
I mean, that could work for some people. I don't know if that'll work for me, but Now, what I'm saying is that I've been going organic. I've been eating less carbs and switching up my food choices.
Right.
And so $20, like you guys put. So, for example, $20, with that, I can get Ezekiel bread, which is sprouted bread, which is not the same as like wheat bread. Although it does have wheat in it, but it's not the same processing to get it, you know, growing, right? So it actually has better protein, better fiber, more nutrition, and less of a glycemic impact, right, for the diabetics. So you can get Ezekiel bread for, let's say, like $6 to $8. Then you, instead of getting the typical ham that you would get or whatever, if you get turkey, ham, whatever, you would get nitrite-free, no antibiotics, no hormones, organic ham or turkey or chicken, sliced, whatever you get, right? You get organic Munster cheese. All this you can get for maybe about like $10 together. So $10 together for the ham and the cheese, and then $8 or about $6 for the bread. And let's say you got $2 left or $3 left, you can get some avocado oil cooked kettle potato chips. These chips aren't fried, and they are used, they use avocado oil, which is better than canola or sunflower or whatever other flour or nut oil that they use. This is much healthier fats profile. So you can have organic healthy chips that aren't going to just destroy your body and aren't going to destroy your teeth with all the sugar and glucose and bullshit that's in it, and preservatives. You're going to avoid cancer from the meats you're consuming, because they're not going to have all these preservatives and nitrites in it and high sodium as well. And then you're going to have good bread that's not going to make your, you know, blood sugar go through the roof. So all these things you can get for the same $20. And I understand the argument that, yeah, you can go to Wendy's and get maybe twice that amount of food for the same price. But how good are you going to feel after that versus how good are you going to feel after my meal? Right. And that's ultimately what matters, because if you feel like crap after that Wendy's, well, then you're not going to go through life living your best life. You're going to go through just kind of surviving barely. You're going to be breaking down your body quicker, and you're going to age faster, and you're going to ruin your body. Whereas, you know, if you maintain it and you eat right, you're going to have more energy. And with that extra energy, who knows what you could do, man? Maybe you'll invent some shit and then you'll make $1 million, so that the $20 you were spending on fast food won't even matter anymore. You'll have thousands that you could spend on good food because of the energy you got from eating healthy and living right.
No, I think that's totally true. It's all depending on what you want to invest in your life. Do you want to save your money so that you can buy that badass Jays and be walking around with Jordans, or do you want to invest that into your health? And so it's really up to your personal decisions.
It depends, man. Those the concrete J's, man, that might be worth. Those are nice. man, it's life choices like we talk about, and let us know what you guys think. I know I like the avocado oil, and that's the new thing, eating like an avocado, then. I know you probably heard it. It's a lot healthier because of the fats and all this stuff. That's why avocados have gone through, like, the pricing for a while went through the roof, because they found out eating one a day or some goofy shit, like, improves something in your body, or digestive, or with the healthy fats and all that shit. And it was, like, fucking crazy. That's why avocados got so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to thank you all for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Also, send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Let us know there if you guys want, if you guys get the 2 for $5 meal with the coupon, or you want to go eat, try to eat healthy or bring your own lunch. You guys grow stuff in your gardens. We do that here at the Aguirre household. And I'll tell you this, the cucumber gets a nice snap when I eat it for lunch. So let us know what you guys are doing. So don't forget to check out our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There, we're on multiple platforms. We haven't been kicked out yet. Check it out. Like, subscribe. That helps us out immensely. We like it to see when we get new followers or comments. We love it. So keep doing that. We appreciate you guys doing that. So again, it's been a nice chat here on Freeform Radio. We have Danny.
Yes, sir. Go out there, enjoy the day. Go out and take a little walk. Man.
You got Noel.
Hey, thank you for listening, everybody. Go out there and live your best life. Try to be as healthy as you can.
We got It's All Good, Andy. Thank you guys for listening. Let us know what's going on with you guys. Don't forget, send in at ffnquestions@gmail.com. Let us know what you guys think about the vaccines. Good eating, bad eating, nice steak, and all kind of shit on it. But
I like
steak.
Can't
pass up on a good ribeye, man.
No hormones, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. But hit us up there, and you guys have a good week.
That was cool, Dad.